Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life.
Well, Tyler has cancer, and he works his way through the feelings and the emotions that he has as a child with cancer by writing letters to God. He doesn't just write this one letter. He writes several letters and puts within these letters his emotions and his feelings and what he wants for those around him. The same kinds of things that you do on a regular basis when you look at the lives of those that you love and you care for and you want the Lord to know about them. Tyler writes those in a letter. Those things that are going on in his own heart, the worries that he feels, the things that he wonders about, the questions that he has about the way his life is and the way that his life will be, that he works through all of those by writing those in letters to God. And he just places them in the mailbox. He puts a postage amount on there, just believing that they will be heard by the Lord. I do believe that that's an act of faith. I think prayer is an act of faith. Being able to voice the concerns, the emotions, the feelings that we have, and believe that there is something, someone, some being that cares and listens is an act of faith. But let me tell you, prayer is one of the most difficult acts of faith that we have. I get real tired of people who talk about prayer in such simplistic ways of just pray about that, because it's difficult for us often to truly believe that someone is listening, that someone cares. We have had so many situations in our lives that we've learned not to touch that stove any longer because we've been burned by it over and over again, put trust in particular people, like the folks that just put trust in this man that predicted that the world would be ending. And then we've found out that it's not true, that they're not trustworthy, that we shouldn't have put all of our faith and trust in that other person. And so when we think about, is there really a God? Is there someone who cares? We think of that in a personified way. But I can tell you that there is a God, and that God is one who is listening. And God is one who cares what's in your heart, not only this morning, but every morning, every day. And God wants to hear the hurts, the joys, the excitements, the worries that you have as a person. And that God wants to hear the concerns that you have for others. I believe there's an energy of prayer that creates an energy for those who are seeking healing, who are seeking comfort, who are seeking love. I do believe that prayer is one of the most important acts of faith that we have available to us. But my guess is that every person here is struggling with their prayer life. My guess is that every person here has times in which they wonder whether or not God is listening, whether or not it's really just an act of futility that we do as we pray. And I invite you today to rethink that, to make a new commitment to pray. That's what David did. David wrote the Psalms, 150 Psalms that we have in the Bible, that are just simply his commitment to talk to God, letters that he writes to the Lord. These are his feelings. They're Psalms, as Walter Brueggemann, who is a wonderful Old Testament scholar, says, that there are Psalms of disorientation, orientation, and reorientation. And what he says is that there are times that David felt like everything in the world was wonderful, and so he just simply thanks God for everything that seems to be falling into place. Those are the Psalms of orientation. There are those that are the times that everything seems to be falling apart and that everything is going to hell in a handbasket. And so he writes his frustrations and his worries. And then there are those times of reorientation, the times that we feel as though everything's been awful and now all of a sudden the lights come on and we see it in a new and wonderful way. I invite you to think about what Tyler learned in his life out of his simplistic faith, out of his innocence, of simply writing letters to God, putting a stamp on them, believing that that stamp was going to get them to the Lord. I don't know how much postage it takes to get to that mailbox in heaven, but I can tell you that it doesn't take any extra postage to get the Lord to listen. And that's why I think that it's time for us to recommit to one of the very basic tenets of our faith, and that is prayer. Watch this next clip.
Can I help you?
Oh, whoa, whoa. A little warning next time. Sir, Mr. Reverend.
No, please call me Andy.
Andy, sure.
And you are?
Brady. And I was just dropping those off. I wasn't stealing anything, I swear. I'm sorry, that's a bad choice of words. I just came in just because it's just that I think this sick kid on my route is writing these letters to God. And I thought we could at least read them, send them a gift basket, something.
It's very kind of you, going out of your way to make sure that Tyler's letters are protected.
You know him?
Oh, yes, yeah. Good. We love that family. They've been members here for quite a while. With all that's happened, it's been difficult for them. But we certainly keep them in our prayers and check on them often. You know, it seems to me that God put these letters in your hands for a reason. So maybe you should hold on to them.
No, I wouldn't. I don't know what to do with them.
Well, first thing you're going to do is go home and sleep it off. And then listen to God. Let God tell you what to do with them. After all, they are written to Him.
So there's a switch in mailmen. The person you saw in the first clip is taking a leave of absence, and this new mailman comes in, and it does seem like at times the Lord makes things to happen that just seem to be right, and so He's placed this new mailman who is really struggling with a number of things, struggling with his marriage, struggling with the children that are a part of this marriage and who's going to have custody of them, and he started to drink. And so all of a sudden now he's the one who has been entrusted with these letters that Tyler is putting in the mailbox, and he doesn't know what to do with them. So he takes them to the local church. Obviously he hasn't frequented this church before, and he's come in and he's asked the minister to take them off of his hands. And what the minister does, I think, is very wise. He says, you know, God has put you these letters in your hands. And I think that's where they're supposed to be. You see, I think that God puts people in our lives. God puts people in our hearts and in our hands, and we are to do something with them. And the question is, what do we do? I mean, what do we do with the person who is struggling in their marriage, or the person who is struggling with an illness, or a person who is wondering if they're ever going to find a job again? But God has put those people in your hands. God has put them upon your heart. And there are things you can do about that. In fact, I believe that God expects you to do things about them. God expects you, first of all, to react in caring ways to that person and to spend time day after day after day thinking, what is it that this person needs and how can I help supply that need? And in the midst of that, taking on the responsibility of keeping them in your prayers. How many times have you said to somebody, I'll keep you in my prayers, you'll be in my prayers, and then you've never said a prayer for that person? It's become, for too many Christians, a greeting or just that passing thing that you say to say to somebody to try to comfort them. But again, it's an act of faith. It's a commitment to keep that person in your heart and in your life. You are sacrificing a part of your life so that you can take on the hurts of that other person. When we say we're going to pray for someone, sometimes we just say we're going to pray for you because we're going to join our prayers with yours. Sometimes we say we're going to pray for someone because they no longer in their struggling and in their lack of faith cannot muster up the strength and the faith to be able to pray for themselves. So you are going to pray for them in their stead. When they cannot pray, you will pray for them. There are so many people that don't have the faith that you do, and they cannot pray for themselves, but you can pray for them. Again, it is that act of faith, making sure that you keep these people in your prayers. That's why we have our joys and concerns. That's why we mention them to you every Sunday. That's why you have a list of them in the bulletin, so that you can take some of these people on in your prayers. Actually, you can take all of them on, but there are going to be some that particularly, if you spend the time, they're going to particularly reach out to you, even if they're just names on a page. And when that happens, it is the Lord placing that person in your hands.
I want you to write a letter to God. I want you to tell him how you feel. I'm sure that he can help you and Mom.
Not to sound mean, but Ty, that's really lame.
It's not lame. It's my favorite way to talk to God. It's like texting your best friend.
Has anybody written a letter to the Lord? We call it, actually for adults, we call it journaling. And I recommend it to you. Journaling is an activity, again, an activity of faith, a commitment, a discipline that you can put yourself into in which you just start jotting down the things that come to mind in your prayer time. Too often prayer is filled with words, and often prayer ought to be filled with silence. You see, prayer doesn't just mean talking to God, it's also listening to God. I do think that the Lord hears every word, but wouldn't it be nice if you heard a response back? I often have people come in my office and say, you know, I just don't think God's listening to me. And I said, well, are you listening to the Lord? Have you given the Lord a chance to tell you that the Lord is listening? Well, I keep talking to him. Yeah, but are you spending time listening to the Lord? Two things that I've done that have been very, very unique and special to me. One is that I've used the Psalms as a time of prayer, and I would invite you to do this as a new discipline, and that is every day take a psalm, read through the psalm, and read through it several times and see what phrase begins to come out to you, to highlight to you that this is my phrase, and just use that phrase over and over again as your prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And continue to listen as you repeat that line over and over again and see what the Lord says to you. What is it that the Lord is doing to shepherd you? How is the Lord's hand shepherding you through life? And start to write those things down, because I do believe then you're listening to what God is saying to you and the direction God has for you. I hope that that's something that will become 150 days. That would be about a little less than half of this year that you would dedicate to listening to the Lord and journaling. When we went to El Salvador to the Living Water mission trip, we got there. We had traveled. We were ready to start on the well. We were excited about how we were going to be drilling the well and what all we needed to learn to how to do that. But our first day there, they said, "We'll start on the well tomorrow. We'll go to the site tomorrow. But today, we want you just to be in prayer." And we all looked at each other like, "God, we could be working. We could be doing something. We could be accomplishing something." if we just go to the well site? Why are we going to waste a whole day not doing anything? It was the most productive day I have had in years of being by myself with absolutely nothing to do but listening to what the Lord has to say to me. I still have the journal I wrote through that mission trip, but particularly that first day is a cherished day. I came out of that with such wonderful things that led me for the next several months. So I encourage you to think about journaling and to look at committing yourself to a time of listening to the Lord at least for 150 days with each of the Psalms. Now watch this next clip.
Brady, wait up. Why don't you and I go walk and talk a little bit? Mind if we sit a while? My mailman's knee is flaring up on me.
Oh, sure. You need some water or something?
Just sit for a while. You know, you're in the right place if you have something to work out.
I'm afraid it's too late for me.
Nah, never too late when you put it in his hands.
Yeah, it's just that lately... No, what am I saying? It's not lately. It's been going on for a couple of years. It feels like... It's about everything I touch. Turns to dust. Everything feels like it's slipping through my fingers. I can't hold on to anything.
Hold out your hands. Come on. Now put them together. Intertwine your fingers. Now nothing can slip through. You know, I think you're right where you're supposed to be.
I don't know where that is.
I'd say you're right in the palm of God's hands.
You ever wondered why these are praying hands or like this? I don't really know. I mean, I always wondered because originally these were praying hands. This was the way that people prayed. Or sometimes like this. I know there are still some faiths in which people pray like this. But somehow over the years, these became our praying hands. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, symbolically, that makes a lot of sense to me, because what praying is being connected to God, being connected to one another. We hold hands when we're in a group and we're going to pray. A lot of times we'll reach out and hold hands with someone because we want to feel connected. Well, maybe that's a way that people thought that they could feel a connection somehow, symbolically, by holding their own hands. They were holding the hands of God. One of the little items that was given to me many years ago now, when I went and I led a women's retreat, and I was given a little cross. A little cross that's called a clinging cross. And This cross is designed so that it fits in your hand like this. Now, it fits various ways for various size hands. I have very large hands for a woman. but it's meant to fit in your palm, to hang on to feel some connection, to feel something solid when you pray. And I like the prayer that came with this clinging cross. I mean, it's a little cutesy, but I like the sentiment. It says, "When my mind is fuzzy and my eyes are dim with tears, I need to feel your presence, Lord, and know that you are near. When my heart is racing and my thoughts have such a sting, I tightly grasp this little cross and prayerfully I cling. It's not a magic piece, this cross your Father planned, but when I cling to it, I feel your nail-scarred hand." Prayer is about being connected. Like I said, connected to God, connected to one another, connected to ourselves. How many times do you feel disconnected from your own self? With so much going on in your life, so many commitments, so many people pulling you in all directions, that somehow you lose touch with who you are, with who God meant for you to be, who you are in this world. It's that sense of touch and connectedness that we want to lift up when we're in prayer.
Excuse me. Hi. Sorry to interrupt. Hi, Maddie. I'm not very good at this stuff. My name is Brady McDaniels, and I've been Tyler's mailman for the last couple of months. I just want to tell you, what a gift Tyler's been to me and to everyone he's touched with his letters to God. I read a bunch of them. I'm not sure if I was supposed to, but I think I was, because I see now that there's more to this life than I could see. He gave me hope that someone like me could actually feel faith in something, faith in God. Now these are all letters to God. This bag here, this is from your school. Hundreds of letters to God. You did this, Tyler. You not only helped me, but you helped all of these people find the truth.
So Tyler helped other people find the truth. The mailman said that he had been given a gift, and the gift was to realize that there was enough faith in him to recognize that he could be a part of God's work in the world, that he could place people on his heart. He wasn't sure he should have been reading all these letters, but all of a sudden now these people were a part of his life, and his life could be shared with others. That's really what prayer is about. It's an act of commitment. It is making sure that you are a part of the work of the Lord. Now, one of the things that we sometimes forget is how our faith makes a difference in the faith of those around us. And that's what Tyler did for so many of the others, giving them the opportunity to be a part of the work of the Lord. In the second letter to the Corinthian church, Paul writes these words about being a letter. "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." You see, when God gave the original set of the Ten Commandments, that was a response of saying to the people, "I am giving you these words of the covenant, this relationship that we have with each other." Later on, in the prophecy of Jeremiah, It says that God wrote those words on the hearts of the people. The letters that we write, the prayers that we say, the journals that we scribble in, all of these things are our process of writing God's words on our heart, writing the names of people that God loves on our hearts, writing the things that guide us in life on our hearts so that we know that God's love is a part of us. We then become the letters of God written for the lives of the people around us. I hope you will make that commitment to be a letter to the Lord, to be the letter of the Lord, so that all will know that the Lord is good and the Lord loves them.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for worship Sunday mornings. Feel free to visit our website, mysumc.org, for more information. Have a blessed day.